And they come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, where Paul has just finished speaking to the church. He has just given a word of encouragement, a word of thanksgiving. He's just spoken about the second coming of Christ. And now he speaks to the church, and what he does is he gives some final instructions. If you look at really verses 15 to 22, it looks like this mix-mash of stuff going on. But just before we get to our passage, he says something about the church and to the church. He says, hold your leaders with respect in high regard. And then he challenges the leaders in what to do. And then he says, congregation, here is your responsibility. Here's how you should live with one another. And then he talks about the working of the Spirit. And then he gives what appears to be an out-of-place statement to us. He says this, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually, be joyful, give thanks in all circumstances. Really? What do you have to be thankful for this morning? You know, I look at my life, and I look at the fact that I struggled all through grade school and high school. And yet God brought me exactly to the place where I needed to be. In fact, if it wasn't for a certain teacher named Will Campice, I don't know if I'd be where I am today. I'm thankful that in the midst of my struggle, he was there. I'm thankful, and I know I've shared this before, that although I have a brain tumor, it's not cancerous. I'm thankful for my dad, in the midst of dealing with his cancer and his heart struggles, that his faith is strong. I'm thankful for you, that I know love each other even when we forget to say it. I'm thankful that I'm tired all the time because I have three active and healthy growing children. I'm thankful when a family who is going through a hard time calls me, because it means they want to hear from God. What are you thankful for? Why do I need to be thankful? Why do we need a day to be thankful? I mean, Thanksgiving isn't alone. Why is it we need a day to say, thanks, Mom, for all you do? Why is it that we need a day to say, thanks, Dad? Why does there have to be a day where you run to the store and you pay for overpriced flowers to tell a significant other that you love them? Why does there have to be one day to celebrate marital vows or an anniversary of a job that we love? Ours is January the 1st. Why is there that we have to have one day of the year to be thankful? I suspect it's because it's more easy to grumble and complain about what we don't have or what's missing in our lives or what's going wrong in our lives than what is good. And yet I can't help but think of Paul's words. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now here's the interesting thing. I suspect most of us would say, yes, but according to Paul, he could go over here and over here and over here and say, I know what God's will is for your life. And we, because we're followers of Jesus, can say, I know you do, Paul. You want me to be joyful. You want me to pray. You want me to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. But Did you notice something about our passage? Always, continually, and in all circumstances are adverbs. Paul wants us to understand that it is possible, and I'll tell you why later, for us to be joyful, to pray regularly, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Always. Something that you and I can do all of the time. There's a story that I came across this week about a pastor named Reverend Ramsey. At his church, every Sunday, there was a little old lady who would give him a boutonniere to put on to his suit jacket. And at first, he loved it. He waited. He couldn't wait till she came. But then after a while, it was just something that he clipped on. He often didn't even notice it. And then one day, a little boy comes to him and he goes, "Pastor, can I have your flower?" "My flower?" And then he looked and he realized he was wearing a boutonniere. "What are you going to do with it?" "I'm going to throw it away." "Would you mind if I took it?" "Sure, I'm not going to do anything with it," the pastor said. And he said, "You see, my mom and dad got divorced last year. And I went to live with my mom, and she's already with somebody new, and he doesn't want me around. And so I went to live with my dad, and he just couldn't handle me. And so I went to live with Granny. Granny is taking care of me. She's feeding me, she's clothing me, she loves me, she takes me anywhere, and I just want Granny to know how much I love her." Pastor had to stop for a moment to collect himself. And he said, "Well, you see on the stage, there's a bunch of flowers." He goes, "You know what? Why don't you take Granny the nicest and the biggest bunch of flowers?" And here's what the little boy said. "I asked for a flower and I got a bouquet." What a way to look at the story, isn't it? Here is a boy who had lost life as he knew it and was thankful for the blessing that he had just experienced in his life. Isn't that what it looks like when you and I begin to give thanks in all circumstances? But Paul says it begins by you and I giving thanks to God himself. It's what James says in James chapter 1, doesn't he? When he says that we give thanks to the Father of lights. Notice that he says, don't give thanks to so-and-so and to so-and-so and to so-and-so, but give thanks, let your thanksgiving begin and originate with God. For this is God's will for you, this is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. Now, why does he say that you and I should give thanks and begin with God? Let me tell you from Scripture. It says, give thanks because God is sovereign. Give thanks because nothing happens by chance. Give thanks because God works out all things for the good of your salvation. That God has triumphed over sin and death. Give thanks because even the worst thing God uses for our spiritual growth. Give thanks because when we are faithless, God is faithful. Give thanks because God's word will be vindicated. Give thanks because God's word is true. Give thanks because heaven is for real. Give thanks because this world is not our home. Give thanks because his grace is sufficient for all of our needs. Give thanks because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus. Give thanks that there is no pit so deep that the love of God will not go. Give thanks because the blood of Jesus conquers all of our sin. Give thanks because God delights in softening the heart of the sinner. Give thanks because he desires to save. Give thanks because there are no impossibilities with God. Give thanks that when we feel alone, we're not alone. Give thanks because the Father does not test us beyond more than we can bear. Give thanks because the Holy Spirit abides with us. Give thanks because our Lord Jesus is interceding for us. Give thanks that God wastes nothing. Give thanks that our doubts, our fears, and our struggles cannot cancel the love of God for us. Give thanks that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Give thanks that you and I can approach the throne of grace. Give thanks that although weeping endures for a night, joy comes in the morning. Give thanks that we are still God's, even when our faith falters. Give thanks because although we suffer outwardly, we are growing and being renewed inwardly. Give thanks for eternity. Give thanks in all circumstances. For it is God's will for you and I because of Jesus. So what would you say if I invited you into the Thanksgiving chair this morning? You see, he wants to give us thankful hearts because it's his will for us. And why is it God's will for us that you and I learn to live as thankful people? Because God has redeemed us. He has set eternity apart for you and I. He has given us a real and a present hope, a hope that will not disappoint. He wants us to be thankful people because we are the image bearers of Christ. We are a reflection of grace. It's his will for us because he has come to give us life and give it abundantly. It is his will for us because he desires for us to prosper and not be harmed. It's God's will for us to be thankful because the worst thing that has ever happened to us has already happened. And the best thing that has happened to us by the blood of Jesus has already happened. And so he says to the church, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the point. I don't give thanks that I struggled in school. I give thanks because it was someone who showed hope in me and who walked with me. I don't give thanks because I have a brain tumor or my dad has cancer and heart problems, but I give thanks because there's a physician and there's medicine and there's a great physician who holds me in the palm of his hands. We don't give thanks because of the things that are in our lives. We give thanks in spite of the things that are in our lives. And here's why we can do it. We can give thanks this morning because we have a hope and we have an eternity with God. People of God, if you are looking and finding it hard this Thanksgiving weekend to find things to be thankful for, I encourage you to look to Jesus. I encourage you to look to your eternity in heaven. I encourage you to realize that God works out all things for the good of our salvation. Now, I don't fully understand that, and I'm not going to try to even say that I do. But I know that God in his word says it's true. And if everything that we've read this morning about God being sovereign, about not testing us more than we can handle, about holding us secure in the palm of his hands, if that is all true, and it is, then I know for a fact that he will work out whatever I'm going through for my good. And the third thing he tells us in our passage we see all over Scripture is that God's got you covered. Look to the beginning of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3 with the promise of the Messiah. Look to Israel. Even while they were in the midst of Egypt, God was rising up Moses to come and take them on the way. When they were in the desert, God said, I am with you. And he provided a cloud and he provided fire. Think of what we looked at, was it last week when we looked to the story of Jonah? And how God provided a storm, he provided a tree, he provided a ship, he provided a large fish. To Jesus coming, to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There hasn't been a moment where God hasn't shown up in the midst of our story. And so he invites us to give thanks in Christ Jesus for all things. And here's what happens. When you and I begin to sit in the Thanksgiving chair, your language will begin to change. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew writes in Matthew 19. And have you ever noticed when people begin to count their blessings, how we begin to grumble a little less? We begin to complain. Maybe we even become a little bit more attractive. Because there's something amazing about people who know how to be thankful in the midst of all circumstances. The second thing I've noticed is that our attitude begins to change. As you and I begin to count our blessings and realize how good it is, the way we face struggle, the way we face adversity begins to dramatically change. And we begin to see the blessings of God in the midst of the storm. Here's the third thing I see happening, is when you and I learn to give thanks, our relationship with God begins to change. We begin to be more trustworthy of God. We learn to become more dependent upon God. We actually begin to look at how God is going to show up in the midst of whatever we're going through. And the third thing is going to happen is your relationship with others will begin to change. It's been said by those who look at the Christian faith. I don't know how they live that way, but I want what they have. I don't know how often I hear that at funerals or when people are going through health crises. I don't know how they do what they do, but I want what they have. And that's faith, isn't it? And God invites you and I this morning to allow our lives to be a story of thanksgiving because of the finished work of Jesus. Now, what I love is, as we begin to wrap up, is isn't it amazing how Paul does it? He says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, and then he encapsulates it in Christ Jesus. The way you and I are to be joyful, to pray all the time, and to give thanks in all circumstances is because of Jesus and what he has done for you and for me. So, when you feel like complaining and you feel like grumbling, sit in the Thanksgiving chair. And when you still feel like complaining and you still feel like grumbling, sit in the Thanksgiving chair. What I want to challenge all of us to do is, before we grumble, before we complain, and there are moments where we need to, but sit in the chair for a few moments. And then watch how your language and your attitude begin to change. When you've had a hard day, sit in the Thanksgiving chair. And before you share about your day and all that has gone wrong, like in that video, the meeting, how hard it was for him to be a single parent, how hard it is, the people you had to deal with, sit in the Thanksgiving chair. And sit in the Thanksgiving chair until you find some things to be thankful for. And then start sharing. And if you've got things to be thankful for, sit in the Thanksgiving chair. People of God, God wants us to be people of thanksgiving in all circumstances because we're his. And how we live and how we respond is a reflection of how we understand his grace and his ongoing work in our lives. I believe it's possible for us to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances because we're his. And he's got us. And the debt has been paid. Amen. We're going to pray. And as we do, we want to welcome Brad and Mary Ann back from Bolivia. We look forward at a later time hearing about your mission experience in Bolivia. But welcome home. We're glad that you're back. And we also want to remember Josh Valkenberg and Cassandra, who will be getting married in 2 weeks. And if there are no lawful objections, the wedding will take place on that date. And so we want to pray for them, but also give thanks for the gift of love and for marriage itself. So as we go to prayer, let's remember those in prayer as well. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of all good gifts. And Lord, as we gather this morning, we give you thanks for the opportunity to serve you. We think of Phil and Janetta in Tanzania. We think of Brad and Marianne's experience in Bolivia. We thank you for the work that could be done there with them and the team that they have gone with. Lord, we pray that there would be much lasting rewards and fruit from the work and their experience there, Lord, that the church would have been built up, Lord, that that the believers' faith would have been encouraged, and Lord, that they would be enriched to continue the work that they had started and worked along with while they were there. And we pray for that same passion, Lord, not only for Tanzania and for Bolivia, but Lord, for us as a church here in Richmond Hill, that we'd be passionate about reaching out to this community, passionate about telling the story of faith and about the work of God and of the hope that is in us. We give you thanks for the gift of marriage. We want to pray for Josh and Cassandra as they prepare not only for that day, but for a lifetime. And we pray that their marriage would also be one of the testimony of faith of the God who has redeemed them and loves them and will lead and guide and direct their marriage. And Lord, as we go through this day, we pray too, Lord, for our country. We're thankful for a free country to live in. Lord, we pray for our prime minister. We pray for Justin Trudeau. We pray for our premier, Kathleen Wynne. We pray for our mayor of the different towns that we live in. Lord, that you would give them grace and wisdom. We pray that you would speak to them, Lord, and that they would have ears to listen. And as we remember them, oh God, we pray for the leadership of this church. We pray for us to have ears to hear what you are calling community church to be, that your spirit would be alive and working well, and that we would see how you are calling us to walk in tandem with the Spirit. And that together, as this passage speaks to the church collectively, that we would be able to count our many blessings. And that together, not only today, but every day this year, we would say, look what God has done. Because only you could have done that. And so, Lord, we give you ourselves this morning with thankful hearts. And we say thank you for Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you that our hope is secure, that nothing can take away the promise of salvation and eternity with you. And now by your Spirit we pray that you would have us to have hearts that are quick to give thanks, that are quick to pray, and that are constantly joyful. In your name we pray. Amen.